Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode contains spoilers for episode number 26 and episode number 22. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 15 and class number 17. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, making our way through the underground, and frankly just wondering when we are going to be done fighting oozes, because seriously, it's getting a little old. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. Good to have you back with us once again this week. Go around the group here, as always, just kind of remind you of who we are and the characters we're playing. My name is Casey. I am playing Etu the Brute.
I'm Garrett. I am Herd Nerfer the Scoundrel.
I am Skip. I am playing the human Sawbones, DJ Bloodright.
And I'm Steve, playing as the Wyrmling Bear combo, Rum and Coke.
This week, we are continuing our quest through the sewers of the city to get to the bottom of what is assuredly Wyrmling's up to no good under down there poisoning things.
Was this
still Steve's campaign of like, let's prove the Wyrmling's innocent, so let's go through the worst scenarios ever?
I feel partially vindicated, by the way.
You should.
That's fair. Well, I mean, he probably should because it wasn't actually Wyrmling, but we can kind of ignore that probably. Allegedly
not Wyrmlings.
But anyway, we'll get to that. We are getting ready to wrap up this whole thing down in scenario number 26, the Ancient Cistern.
Yeah.
Which, yes, has more oozes because you just can't get enough oozes, apparently. I mean, I feel like we fought oozes the last like three or four sessions.
Yeah, we got plenty of oozes. We definitely got enough.
Yeah.
And every time we felt like we had a really good handle on oozes, we know how to cheese them. And every time it didn't really work.
did we have the same plan this one where we just try to charge through and just race through it? Or are we actually going to fight the oozes? I can't really remember.
We decided to just fight the oozes because when we start with them in this first room, right? And we know if we leave them, they're just going to crawl behind us and it's just going to be a mess.
Right.
It's also like we know the second room coming up is a narrow hallway, so we're going to get bogged down in there and it was just going to be bad. But before we get started, Isaac, let's me and you have a chat, man. Because I appreciate you trying to get all thematic with us. And you're setting all these rooms up and adding in all these interesting things. But do you really need to ask me to set up 7 water tiles in the first room behind where we spawn and behind where the enemies spawn? Like, nobody's going to go there. There's no need for it. You just told me to dig out all these water tiles and I'm not using most of them. Come on, man.
Some of us appreciate setting, Casey.
Yeah.
Well, next time you can dig out the water tiles.
Next time I'm just going to use a bottle of water.
Just pour it on the board itself.
Yeah, nice. I'm hardcore role player, man.
Get into it.
Anywho, we all spawn in the middle of this room. Let's see, we've got 4 rooms, 11 water tiles, living corpses, oozes, night demons, and black imps. We have not seen black imps in a while. First room has 3 oozes and a handful of living corpses.
Yeah, living corpses really aren't much of a problem at all. It's, you know, the oozes that bog you down.
Yeah, and
the corpses, though, they hit for a ton, don't they?
They're like, starting to, yeah.
I remember,
we
like,
didn't mention. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's my character in specific, because he's not a tanky guy, and it's more support that I don't like to go up to him. The oozes I didn't really mind as much, but, you know, they do split and deal with that crap, but I remember these guys hitting pretty damn hard for, you know, at least 6 or so.
I wasn't afraid to take these guys on and get hit a little bit because I knew DJ Bloodride had my back.
Yeah, baby.
You did a good job of shielding us up early in this first room. And so Rum and Etu made pretty quick work of the living corpses. Oozes instantly start splitting. And, you know, it just kind of got to get that out of the way, right? But we made pretty quick.
Yeah, the first room would have been a little quicker. I think we burned through. So we actually, there was some curse on the scenario.
Yeah.
That Etu and DJ Bloodright had to deal with. And they came out early.
Yeah, they did. Just got those out of the way.
But I mean, that was good, right? Probably, we didn't have to deal with that later in the scenario.
That's probably one of my favorite things in changing classes is this new class has the perk for ignoring scenario effects where the Spellweaver didn't. And just time and time and time again, that comes into play. It's so nice.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, mine's a flip of that now. I had that perk and now I don't. And it's definitely missed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whereas the brute does not have that. But you know what? I'm just never going to retire. So it is my brute.
The joke on you is there are no sun demons in this game. Right. That's really why I keep dragging you into the sewers and stuff, because I don't want you to retire.
That's fair. That's fair. You just miss me too much. I mean, somebody's got to get hit in the face a lot, and might as well be me, I guess.
I'll volunteer you for that.
Because whenever Garrett tries it, it just doesn't work out too great.
Not the best, no.
Which, I mean, you did open the door to the second room on this, and immediately pop your cloak of invisibility.
But as always, like, I brought it up ahead of time. Like, I don't just do it without mentioning it. I mean, the cloak maybe, but not the door.
I like how you say mention, not ask, not get consensus. I'm doing this, guys.
The good thing about it, though, was it forced the night. There's night demons in the middle of that room. It forced them to come up, and they kind of had to wind around him
and that rock
to get to us. Yeah, so it kind of slowed them down for a turn and let us finish off with the oozes and deal with them. And of course, there's more oozes in the second room. And
yeah, we got gummed up a little bit going into this one.
Yeah. But that didn't stop me from bursting through there. And
well, I mean, yeah, that's
fighting.
That's just made for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I went ahead and took out the elite night demon, I believe. Rum came in right behind me. There's like four night demons in that room, but they weren't too bad. Of course, the oozes did a decent amount of splitting back there. Oozes are just, I don't know. As long as they're not drawing their ranged attack, they're kind of just plotting to fight at times.
They're just an inconvenience, right? Like, more than anything.
They're really a blocker. I mean, they split. They take up so much space. You have to have jump to get past them. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. That and sense. Like you said, the range.
Yeah, that does suck.
So yeah, there's a bit of a fight with the night demons, but the night demons don't have a ton of hit points. They just have they can go invisible and be a little bit harder to hit at times. But
I don't believe they had a single chance to go invisible, though. I think we killed them before they ever had the card out.
Yeah, we took care of that. Then while we were dealing with the oozes, I went for the treasure chest in the room.
Because we don't need a tank.
I
mean, like,
the treasure when he opens the treasure chest, he doesn't blow up.
It's true. I've yet to blow myself up on a treasure chest.
I'm sorry, I throw my body on the grenades for my party in a selfless act so often.
Selfless?
So sorry.
Hey, that's what you have a healer for now, so it's all good.
That's right.
If it makes you feel better, though, the item I got out of that I will probably never use.
Yeah. So. Now, was it an actual item or a blueprint?
It was an item.
Okay.
But then,
But don't worry, I was able to get that treasure and then still kick in the door for the next room. Actually, we left Rum. We left Rum to kind of finish off the last couple of oozes. Something happened back there, like DJ Bloodrite and the bear got into a fight. I don't know how that happens. Who started it? I don't know. I'm not passing judgment. I just know words were exchanged.
I'm almost positive the bear was mouthing off. So I just
how did
had
the bear
to,
mouth off. He doesn't even speak.
It. Well, hey, didn't one of our enemies monologue to him? So I just, I assumed
he monologued to my bear's ass.
Yeah, well, I just assumed the bear was talking back, so he got it in his head. He could talk shit to anybody, and it doesn't fly. So
that's right. DJ Bloodrite, don't play that.
I don't know.
DJ Bloodrite's got a reputation.
I think we're going to have to make a custom arena scenario where we face off against each other.
that's not going to work out so well. I was trying to help him out by healing him with one of my big heals, and with his temperament, he wants to run in and run away from me and attack people. So
I had to
put my
being
foot down.
A bear is what I'm hearing.
No, I was telling him to stop, and he apparently took it the wrong way. And
he's a loose cannon,
he's a dumb
man.
Bear. What do you expect?
He doesn't follow anybody's rules but his own, and sometimes Coke.
You know, just in all of this, I worry we overlooked an important point just now, and that is Casey's like, yeah, and then I went and opened the door, and that's okay. Like, no one's complaining Casey opened the door.
Casey's a tank.
Like, I'm just saying. Right, but let's look historically at Casey's door opening.
That's okay. Twice.
Yeah, historically, I finish what I start when I open a door. If I open a door and it's bad, I stay there and get hit in the face. Whereas you, like, I'm going to cloak away
or run back into the room behind everybody else.
You know what? I have like cloak PTSD after that first time, so I am always ready.
That was a totally different character, right? You as a person through this.
We're reincarnated. Shut up.
So, room three. I think we're on.
Room three was actually two room segments combined. So it was a big room. Night demons in there to get up in our business. Living corpses in there to kind of slow us down. Because in the back of the last room, there were four like valves that we had to go shut down. And there were black imps back there attached to them, which were apparently what was actually causing the poison of the water and
allegedly.
All that stuff.
Not allegedly. The valves, we just had to be standing on the tile at the end of the turn. Is that correct?
I thought you gave up an upper or lower.
You gave up a move action. Yeah.
So, you know.
So.
Go ahead.
I think Herd was right behind me on the door opening because he's just raring to go. When
he just jumps over all the baddies.
Yeah, well, we took care of the corpses first, and then the night demons came in, and we went past the night demons so that Rum could kind of tie up the night demons while we took care of the pumps. Which, because the pumps were, every turn they were spawning in more black imps near the pumps, so we knew we needed to get through there and shut those off as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and so, with Rum and DJ Bloodright holding the other things, they wouldn't swarm you.
Yeah, and I did use my move where I jump through things, and then I use my Warhammer to stun them all the way through, so it at least kind of slowed things down for a couple turns.
I'm not really sure. Even if we wanted to, we could have gotten through to you, because like once you got past them, that area clogged up something fierce. Yeah. Like there was just no way through it.
Yeah.
Yep.
The pretty quick, and those dark imps really, they don't do much damage a hit. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And luckily the scenario ended as soon as we killed the pumps. So we didn't have to deal with that whole mess we created in the middle.
Yeah. No mop up.
This was kind of the end of the quest line for the sewers in a way. It's like we got a big chunk of experience. Like we got good rewards. Like we ended a thing, but then we found a clue down there about some markings, and it was, we got some information like, hey, these are used in like ritualistic activities and stuff. And so maybe you can go get more information on it at the Temple of the Elements, which is where we went next to kind of get more information on. I think we just found the markings there, right?
Yeah.
It was part of a ritual. The markings were a ritual of corruption, and we were going to find information on that. But before we do that, what's cooking, Steve?
Let's see. That night we were doing, I was going to do a cashew pesto chicken and had no basil. So we made cashew butter coated chicken and pasta.
Yeah.
Came out all right. It was winging it a little bit, but nobody died. So
like,
I think it was good.
Like I always do. It was awesome. I really enjoyed that.
It's hard to screw up pasta in my opinion too. Like, as long as you cook the pasta good, right? Like, you're fine.
I generally don't burn my pasta.
What was the really good pork dish you made that one time called again? I can't get the word out.
Which one? The one you weren't there for? Or?
No, the one with the pork and rice, panko breadcrumbs on the pork.
Oh, katsudon?
Yes. I went to a Japanese restaurant by my house recently, and they had that. And I was like, oh, this is that stuff they had at Steve's. I'm going to order that. And I got it. And the whole time I just complained to my wife that yours was better. This is dry. It's not as good.
Nice. On that note, though, why don't we skip to dessert?
Nice segue. It was simply lemon shortbread cookies with a buttered lemon filling. Like, so it was a sandwich. It's a lemon sandwich cookie. That's really what it was.
Crack, man.
It was a little. It was okay. It was my first attempt at these cookies, so they'll get better.
It wasn't like overwhelming lemon, and I thought they were great. Yeah,
cool,
man. All this talking about all this what's cooking segment, man. Like, guys, we play again tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow night we're playing again, and like I'm ready, but like now after this segment, I'm super ready. Like, let's keep going.
I gotta figure out what I'm making.
You're gonna turn this into a cooking show with a little bit of Gloomhaven, right?
I told you we should make a Gloomhaven cookbook.
Well, that's when we start. Like, Casey gives us the scenarios up front. We choose on them, and then we just start making recipes themed around that.
Oh man, you some curry goat, but we call it vermling. Right.
And like oozes is just screaming dessert.
Yeah, like some
jello shots all night.
Yeah, oh, man. No. You'd be like, let's do more ooze missions.
Ow!
All right, then.
Jello shots waiting. How about
I haven't had jello shots since I was a teenager. Like, once I was old enough to legally drink, you quit drinking those.
Well, that's because, that's a longer story for a different podcast.
Right.
That's not really what happens at my my Halloween party. We have plenty of jello shots to go around.
Well, I know I was going to say,
Garrett, I guarantee you, if I handed you a jello shot, you would.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to make him, is what he's saying.
That's not fair, because I don't have self-control, and I always give in to peer pressure. So, like, of course, that's not even,
I am so proud of you that you're still alive.
It is a miracle. So, scenario 22, the Temple of Elements.
Scenario 22 was a heck of a scenario, guys.
I know we say this a lot, but I thought this was going to get us. This one really sucked in the layout and the beginning.
Yeah, so we start off just fighting some cultists, right? And like, that's no big deal. Yeah, this is six rooms, though. Like, it's six rooms, and it's kind of laid on a symmetric pattern. Anytime it does this, anytime there's more than like four rooms and it kind of branches out, it's wanting you to split the party. So we're already talking about, like, are we going to have to split the party? Also knew there was altars, where the goal was to destroy altars. And so, of course, they're going to be spread across all these rooms.
Every single time I hear split the party, I think of Eric, by the way, the guy we played D&D with, because he can't stand splitting the party.
Well, it's just not to be done, dude. Just not.
I'm not saying it's smart.
but we kill some cultists. We go into the big room and kill some more cultists. And that's really all that's there. So, like, we have these four side rooms, and each of these side rooms has demons in it. But here's the kicker. The demons are super. So there's an altar. There's a different type of demon in each of the four rooms. None of them are the sun demon I need, by the way, because those don't exist in this game. Different type of demon in each room, an altar in each room. And while all four altars are up, they got
like boosts and shields.
It was plus one per altar, wasn't it?
One damage. Add one to their hit point and attack value for each altar, and add a half to their movement and range for each altar. So, like, the first room, this guy is going to be up attack four, hit up four hit points, and two extra range and two extra movement. So, like, we kick open the door to some beastly fire demons. And there was some discussion of, like, do we need to split up and things like that, but...
We
kind of decided, at least for the first couple of rooms, we're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, we all kind of fell in with the whole, like, let's do this sequentially when we started seeing what we were facing off against.
Yeah. I mean, fire.
Well, just the stacking damage and stacking health. Yeah. That makes for a really tough thing to deal with.
These fire demons were like attack 8 at range 6.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Like almost 20 hit points. It was a mess.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went in. And almost immediately burned a stun on these guys.
Yep.
And Herd and Rum get in there. And we focus on, because I was able to get the stun off early, we were able to focus on the demons themselves and finish them off and then destroy the altar. And so we knew that was going to soften things up a little bit. But, I mean, things are still pretty nasty. Then we start moving to a room with.
Oh, this was this was the classic Herd move, by the way, where he runs into the room, hides in the corner, and puts on his cloak.
Yeah, after getting some wind demons angry at us all. It was a weird transition, though, because we were needing to come out of that room down to another one. But a lot of us were kind of starting to come into our needs for long rests. Yep. I long rested. Rum started moving down towards that door. Actually, I think we'd already done a long rest. That was in room two where we first long rest. So we're already like on our second round of resting.
Yep.
For some of us. And movement was starting to get a little weird. And yeah, Herd kicks in that door. Yeah, and doesn't go for the demons. Just is like, I'm going to try to kill this altar, guys. That's what I'm going to do. You guys can figure out the demons.
Classic Herd.
And so like Rum and Etu immediately get hit from the frost demons. He's destroying the altar. DJ Bloodrite's trying to keep us alive.
To be fair, though, the frost demons weren't too tough against Rum and Etu.
Like, yeah,
they made true. Relatively quick work and didn't take too much damage off of them.
No, it was okay, but it was it helped that there was only like two demons per, and so especially in the earlier rooms, we were focusing more on stuns there. Yep. These are actually wind demons too. I don't. The frost demons are on the other side. I get them confused sometimes.
So yeah, one thing is, I feel like I could probably help a little more if you guys weren't so freaking fast. I mean, you guys jump in and you go straight to the back of the room and start hammering on this thing. And I come in finally waddling my way in, apparently, just to kick the corp.
I mean,
and then throw a few heals.
Well, that's where the med packs come in, because you get them before and then they keep themselves alive while waiting.
So I'm technically not doing anything. I'm just giving you a card. Nice.
That's
why I felt like in this one, I just spent most of my time in the center room. I kind of circled around.
It's just everybody's running past.
By the time you got there,
room.
We were moving across the entire facility.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey guys, hold up. I just want to hold it.
So we got two other rooms, and I think we did decide we could split up a little bit here, or at least we started to, but then we ran into a bit of a problem because like
Herd went after the sixth room while we went after the fifth room, and we had earth demons to deal with.
Yeah, we split off for the last two.
Yeah, we did, but I feel like I had to go back down and take care of the frost demon altar.
I remember like swapping you, I think, because you were up there.
Yep.
Yeah,
right. That's right. So we went in and like we're able to take down the top altar and the earth demons. Herd started running low on cards and was getting beat up a bit. So I swapped in there to help that after we had taken care of the earth demon altar. Yeah, that's what happened. Because once again, Herd biting off more than he can chew.
Oh, I'm sorry for my selfless acts of taking a whole room by myself.
I like Herd's enthusiasm.
I don't even want to hear that after. We're not even going to get into the next session yet because it's not that episode, but we'll get there. We're going to remember that comment when that comes up.
Let's pin that one.
Anyway, it was for as difficult and at times frustrating as this scenario was, it was a nice refreshing change of pace, right? Like the objective's a little bit different. Like, it's really challenging our thought process. It's not the normal go through and slay everything, even though that's kind of what we're doing. It's how do you want to divide and conquer? Because it's putting an interesting twist on the whole thing.
And we're still kind of trying to figure out how to play as a party with DJ Bloodrite, at this point. Definitely going forward in future scenarios, we get our groove on a little more. But it was a nice kind of trial by fire.
Yep.
It was very different playing compared to the other one where I could always sneak around and at least get a few attacks in because he was a lot faster. Like I said, with this one, I'm so slow. I'm always lagging behind you two, and it's like I can't catch up to you fast enough to heal you. And some of my really good heals, you have to be like right next to each other, and that just almost never happens. It's like you're pushing each other to go in and punch the bad guy first kind of thing. So.
Well, you benefit more for the, like you need us to be going linearly and getting clogged up in doorways so you can catch back up and kind of toss the heels up.
Yeah.
This was definitely not set up.
This was pretty spread out.
Nope.
So we got some more information on this here. We found a corrupted vessel here. which part of me is wondering if it has something to do with the vessels we're trying to find for our voice friend, but I'm not sure it does. It could just be like, I think they just use a term. Yeah,
it could just be a generic term.
Did anybody level up this session? I know I did not.
Wow, you didn't level up a session? That's a... What?
It's because I'm going from 8 to 9 and it's like a massive jump in XP. Yeah. Don't worry, I got you next session.
Yeah, I don't think I did either.
So. Yeah, it was pretty
nice and plain.
Straightforward session that time.
It was, but it was... For straightforward as it was, there's a nice change of pace. Both scenarios had kind of interesting objectives in them. Yep. So
I'll say it certainly didn't have the high drama that the next session had.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It doesn't. But the most exciting thing for you guys to keep in mind, we've vowed off oozes for a while, if we can help it. We've unlocked a scenario called like the oozing forest. Yep. Screw that. Not happening for months.
We've also made peace with Vermlings, you know, kind of for now. Don't quite trust them, but we'll try.
Mm. Although the bear healer animosity has seemed to have, you know, stepped up its pace. That's about it.
It seemed pretty cool in the last session. I guess it's just seething beneath the surface.
Yeah. No, I think they mended pretty well, but you know, dumb bear be dumb bear.
The bear's bear hug.
The bear's on the way out. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
When you guys are crying about him gone.
I disapprove of him retiring.
I mean, it's...
Well, you better brace yourself because that's coming up real soon.
Yeah, man. He's got the 401k paperwork in. Like, it's happening. Got his ADRP card.
Thank you for joining us again on this episode of Misadventures. Please join us again next Friday where we go... do some favors for our voice friend and pull. Have to deal with more of Herd Nerfer's shenanigans, as always.
Heroic tactics. Woo! And also, guys, you can hit us on Twitter at GPub Radio, Facebook Gamer Public Radio, MisadventuresPodcast.com, and our sister podcast, GamerPublicRadio.com. And we're also now on Patreon, Patreon.com/GamerPublicRadio. We've got some different bonuses and stuff if you want to sign up on there, a few perks. Everything helps. You know, we have hosting costs and equipment costs and obviously food costs. So everything, you know, everything is really, really appreciated. I'm sure Steve would appreciate us acting like we're going to give him some of the money. So thank you in advance to anyone who wants to help give. And we will see you guys next time.
Oh, also we're on Spotify now.
All right. We're also on Spotify. Woo.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.